What a privilege to spend time with God. Think of that, going into the very presence of the Creator of this universe and to know that we can have a hearing with Him because of what our Savior has done. It's a privilege that many, many Christians do not take advantage of, and as you know, we've been having the emphasis for a couple of years now on spending an hour with God, an extended time in which God can really work in your heart and you can know the presence of God and have a time in which genuine spiritual victory is won, not just for yourself, but for many others. And today, we're looking at some very key elements at the very middle part of this hour with God. Intercession, petitions, and thanksgiving. It all goes together. A woman came to a missionary in Bangalore asking him to interfere and prevent a certain native Christian from praying for her anymore. When asked how she knew the Christian was praying for her, she replied, "I used to perform my worship to the idols quite comfortably, but for some time past I have not been able to do so. Besides, he told me that he was praying for my family, and now my son and two daughters have become Christians. If he goes on praying, he may make me become a Christian too. He is always bringing things to pass with his prayers. Someone must make him stop." Do we have that kind of prayer life? Our prayers, if Spirit-empowered, can have day by day an enormous impact for the cause of Christ. Now, just quickly reviewing the hour with God, you start off with that wonderful time of worship and praise to the Lord as you get a hold of His attributes and your heart is stirred by the Spirit of God as to the greatness of our God, and then take the next 5 minutes to be still with God and to focus on the Father, the Son, and the Spirit and realize what a wonderful relationship we have with Him and how we need to bow before our God and allow Him to have control of our life. Then we're ready to believe that God will forgive us and to understand the depth of our sin, and that next 5 minutes of confession is very important. That leads us then to be ready to be involved in spiritual warfare, realizing that Satan constantly is going to endeavor to stop us from being what we ought to be, but we have the position in Christ and the promises of God in which we can declare victory over the evil one. And then we get to the promises of God, those things that God has given to us as we have prayed in the past, things that He has applied to our life, to our situations, truths, promises that have become dear to us. And as we record those become anchors for us as we are looking to the Lord to continue to answer and to work. And then the next one is intercession. Now let me say, that first 25 minutes is very, very important so that intercession and petition can be very real and you can have the ground upon which you know God's going to work. Plus, by this time, if your heart's been open to the Lord, the Spirit of God should be in control. He is able to lead you in praying, and you can get on the ground of faith and victory for those for whom you are praying. You know, we jump into intercession, and of course we can pray at any moment, and we need to cry out to God for people. I do that all the time. But when we get down to serious intercession, serious prayer for our petitions that we have personally, it is so wonderful to already be on the ground of faith before you get there. I'm telling you, it will transform your intercession. And so we want to look at this here today. Intercession and petitions. Pray for the needs of others, then bring your personal needs for the Lord, before the Lord. Pray for the needs of others, then bring your personal needs before God. Intercession is the key aspect of our prayer life as we want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want folks to come to know Him as Savior. We want Christians that we know to experience the vitality and reality of the Christian life. And God moves mightily when we intercede for others. A great example of this that we used a couple of years ago when we introduced the bended knee theme, Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, Paul says, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras, who probably started the church at Colossae, had given himself while he was visiting Paul in Rome to labor intensely through the power of the Spirit of God to pray for that church. And that was of such note to the Apostle Paul that he mentioned that. Paul himself realized the absolute need for intercession. Romans 15:30, and I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He wouldn't have asked that if he didn't really believe that their prayers would make the difference. Folks, please listen to this. Anything that has happened on earth has come as God's people have called upon God to do his will. And this is a glorious privilege that we have to join with God to see his work accomplished. The Lord Jesus, of course, himself understood what it meant to intercede as he interceded and prayed prior to the cross in which he would die for all of us. Luke 22:44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And so I want to encourage this friend to realize that our efforts are important. Things that we do, showing love, meeting needs, being biblical in our relationships, but this needs to come after our prayer. The greatest work we can do for every category of person that we are interceding for will be intercession. Then God will empower us, he'll give us wisdom, he'll give us direction as to how we should then meet their needs. Now, in your Christ Walk journal, there is the first set of pages under intercession are those that deal with these different areas of intercession. And first of all, there is the category of the family. You can see it there. That always at the top of our list. And folks, do not give up on any family member. I mean, if the going gets tough, the spiritually tough get going, okay? We've heard that phrase from a human standpoint, but it is vital for us to intercede through the power of God and believe that God is hearing every prayer. And we may not see what is happening, but the throne has been moved. When we're on praying ground and we're praying for those that we love, God is working, he's preparing, he's dealing, he is answering our prayer. Even when you don't see the answer, when you're dealing with people, when you pray and you know that God has led you in that prayer, God is answering. And you need to leave that prayer time knowing that God is working. When young Matthew Simpson, who was so mightily used of God, tremblingly broke the news to his widowed mother that he felt called to preach, which, and this is why he was trembling, which would necessitate his leaving the home, she exclaimed with tears of joy, "Oh, my son, I have prayed for this hour every day since you were born." I'm telling you, the prayer of parents for their children, children for their parents, for extended relatives, husband for wife, wife for husband, some may be lost, some may be in need, some growth may be needed, but my friends, intercession, by the time you spend the first 25 minutes, I'm telling you, you're ready to pray. You come at it from God's perspective. And I'm telling you, when you come at it from God's perspective and you bring these that are closest to your heart before God, God does something deep in your soul to help you know that God is working. And by the way, he will direct you as to how to love them, what to do for them, how to make priority judgments. This time of prayer will be absolutely vital for you. We need to be praying for the world, missionaries. That's another category that you'll see there. Away in foreign fields, they wondered how their simple words had power. At home, the Christians, two or three, had met to pray an hour. Yes, we were always wondering how, because we do not see someone, perhaps unknown and far away, on bended knee. Now, folks, we have seen some things from our prayer meetings together as a church and from smaller prayer meetings. We have seen direct answers. But only heaven will be able to reveal how much has happened in the lives of our missionaries when we pray. It is an amazing thing. Story after story could be given. I remember when missionary Brad Blanton and the team there was under great duress as the revolution was going on in Cambodia, and it was almost impossible for them to get out because about the last plane was leaving, and this church right during that time interceded, and God did a miracle, and they got out. We are in Cambodia. We are in Kenya. We are in Cameroon. We are around the world when we pray. 1947, missionary says, well, I was traveling on horseback in central China with Mr. Fred Mitchell. We came to a spot that was notorious as a robber hideout. The missionary accompanying us was keeping a sharp lookout. Suddenly, we came upon a body lying beside the path. The victim was obviously not long dead. The brigands had been at work. A few days later, I received a letter from my wife asking whether we had been in any danger on a date and time she named. On that particular night, she had been suddenly awakened with the strong impression that I was in danger. She rose and prayed until the burden lifted and peace returned. On consulting my diary, I discovered that this midnight prayer synchronized with the time we were passing through that robber-infested area. God heard and answered the prayer for the safety of his servants. And that can be repeated hundreds of thousands of times. My friends, we have the privilege of joining with precious servants around the world. That's where the Great Commission becomes alive, that we can bring the gospel to every creature through all of the efforts that we have and see God work, but also through the mighty privilege of prayer. Another aspect is praying for the lost that we know, the top five list. That is also, you'll find there. Many of you have top 10 lists. You can see there's a place for you to write down and give different notes about what has happened in praying for top five. We have heard miracle after miracle of folks who have prayed through for their top five, that they're asking God to work in their lives, unusual divine appointments, opportunities. Many have come as a result. Some of you are here because you were prayed for as a top five person. Listen, God answers prayer, and you'll begin to see one after the other of God working in hearts if you will be serious about praying for the top five. And I know the Lord just stirs my heart as I go over that, and that list is there in your journal. And then we need to be praying for those that we know. In your Bible studies, you'll note that it's brought up about each of your top five and praying for them. And in the journal is the opportunity for you to write down not only your top five, but the top five that are in your represented by your Bible study. So you have an entire couple of pages in which you can record those names and then gather together and pray, or pray independently on behalf of these who are burdened for these top five, and I promise you, God will work. We all know the story of George Mueller. He had a top five, top 10, top 100 list, and God reached every one of those on his list before he died, except for just several, and all of those came to know the Lord eventually. That's what God does. I love that little book, Praying Effectively for the Lost. Read it, reread it, believe that God will work. It's very important. And it is important that in our Bible studies that we have a right relationship with God and right relationship with each other. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is the wonderful prayer, especially for those within our church body that you are meeting with every week in your Bible study, in your fellowship. And I would encourage you not only pray for the top five, but pray for the needs and burdens of those that you're closest to here in the ministry. Also in the journal is the soul-winning prospects. And there's a place for you to record all of the folks that you've had divine appointments miss. Don't miss any of them, folks. Each time you truly had an opportunity to witness, or if you even saw them saved or whatever, the opportunity for you to pray through an the next time that you're with them to be able to start an encounter Bible study or to move forward in their Christian life will come because of prayer. And I promise you, praying through your prospect list will keep them on your heart and mind, and you won't lose the miraculous work that God did to bring you in contact with those precious people, and that is very important. And then just praying, I've already alluded to this, but just pray through folks in the ministry that you are working with. In fact, of course, I have the privilege of being the pastor of all of you folks, so I pray for all of you. And you have to have a system to be able to do that. I pray for every child. I pray for every person in this church and those that are connected with it. And I want to encourage you to bear that burden, at least for a portion of the church, and to pray for folks here. God answers prayer. Alta Vale of Emporia, Kansas, told a Christian magazine some years ago how she found a new way to pray while ironing. One day she was thinking about the different kinds of lines, bus lines, clotheslines, fishing lines, telephone lines. She said, why not a prayer line? She asked herself, so she strung a short rope across one corner of her kitchen where she ironed and hung cards on it with names of people she knew needed prayer. And as she ironed, she prayed for each person by name. Not surprisingly, news got out, and she had a lot of people that wanted their name hung on that prayer line. Well, I know how real that is, because I would go see my grandmother, who I've mentioned so many times, that had really got a hold of intercession and believed that God answered prayer. And I would be in her home, and over the phone would ring. It would be from pastors across the country. It would be from the manager of the Oakland A's the year that they won the World Series, of all things. She didn't even care about that. She just wanted to pray for Alvin Dark, since she knew him, and he would pray. And so she's praying for wisdom on how to handle the baseball situation there, you know. She didn't even know what that was, but these folks. But, you know, isn't that wonderful? You know, someone who would be just no insignificant becomes significant when they pray. And so we need to pray for all of those that God has placed in our sphere of influence. Aren't you thankful when someone prays for you? It means the world, doesn't it? Be that kind of person. And we need to intercede. And then petition for personal needs. We can just count on God to work. Give us this day our daily bread, or as Luke 11:3 says, give us day by day our daily bread. I can count on the fact God's going to meet my needs. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Is that the word of God? Is that the word of God? So every need you have, that's a real need. Now, American needs really fly over into wants sometimes, but our true needs, will he always meet those? And by the way, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. Just like a father doesn't just give what a child asks, he usually gives over what a child asks. So does our Heavenly Father. He's so gracious to us. And my friends, financial needs are important to the Lord. A lot of times we need wisdom. Sometimes we need to correct how we handle things financially. But if we will look to him, God will be good to work in our hearts. A Christian woman was in financial need. She had been talking to the Lord about it. She had been praying, believing that God would help her. This goes back some years. Her monthly income was $30. And she began to pray for the impossible. She asked that month for $30 more because of some real needs that she had. And back in those days, that was huge. The next day brought a certain envelope. She writes it about as follows. I opened the envelope when I was at breakfast and lay eyes on it. And they began to feel unique, so that I had to wink fast. And there was a big lump in my throat. The envelope contained a check for $32.84. And instantly there was a little prayer in my heart. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I just can't thank you enough. Why, it just seemed as if the Lord were sitting right by me. He was. It's exactly what was happening. Listen, he cares more for your need than you do, folks. You see, he can't be your father. He can't be your God unless you let him be. And I tell you, put the plastic card away and trust God. We need to get back to getting down to what is our real need and to believe that God can work. It's a wonderful thing. You know, we can pray about strength and health. Now, sometimes God allows us to go through illnesses because they are good for us. They are trials in which we will grow. But oftentimes, even in the midst of that, he will give you an unbelievable answer to prayer. I can't tell you how many times I have sat in my office and said, there's no way I'm going to be able to preach today, but I know I'm supposed to. You gave me this message, and so, Lord, you're going to have to solve the problem. And I tell you what, it's as though I did not have it during that time. That's a miracle. Many preachers could tell you the same thing. You've had that, Bible study leaders. You've been in different places where you just have seen the strengthening hand of God to do what you cannot do. We can ask him to take away the illness. You know, I don't think we even think about that sometimes. By the way, it's a whole lot cheaper, you know, to do it that way. Now, sometimes God will just tell you, this thorn is there because I want you to grow. That's fine. You accept it. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing to pray about our health needs and to see the Lord work. I remember several times going witnessing. All of a sudden, I just felt so fatigued, and God would empower as I cried out to him for that. And of course, God can do things like he did with our son and heal him of a brain tumor. Our God is able today. And so we need to believe him. For wisdom, he has always promised wisdom. We are never to be double-minded about that. James chapter 1, there are times that God will just clearly show you, not times, every time, he will show you exactly what you ought to do. You may have to wait on the Lord, but oftentimes that wisdom will come very clearly. He'll give you light, liberty, and life when it comes to the decision that you need to make. You need to make sure it's biblical, and then God will direct you, but you can pray for wisdom. That's a wonderful thing to do. I remember direction on how to pray for the land. I mentioned that a couple of years ago. God gave very clear wisdom on how to handle that. It was directly from him. It's a wonderful thing. And then we have the Spirit of God indwelling us, and you can pray for the need of the endowment of power, strength to do what you cannot do. In fact, praying without ceasing, a lot of it is depending without ceasing. It's that attitude of prayer where, Lord, I cannot do this without your power. How foolish we are to live life without the presence and work of the Spirit of God in our life. I could go on and on. Do you think our intercession and petition time is pretty important? I hate to tell you, that may go more than 10 minutes. But you know, if you have had a meeting with God in that first 25 minutes, it's amazing how efficient that time can be. Because you are on the ground of faith and of prayer. And that leads now to the matter here of thanking, thanksgiving when it comes to prayer. And this is part and parcel, folks, with the matter of intercession. And I love this. Thank the Lord specifically for working in response to your prayer. Thank the Lord specifically for his working in response to your prayer. You see, thanksgiving follows intercession. Why? We need to remember what he has already done, and then we need to thank him for what he is going to do based upon our prayer. It's an act of faith. Thanksgiving is not just a nice little time we remember a few things he's done for us. No, this is directly related to our prayer time and to our involvement in realizing who he is, the battle we're having against the evil one, believing that God's going to work in this intercession, and then we get into thanksgiving, and this is really a confession of faith to God that he did what has been done. We give him credit for it, and we believe that he is going to work. So, first of all, we need to thank God for his care and provision for you and others. And you'll find this also in your notebook there, just to remind you of these points. Thank the Lord for his care and provision for you and others. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We are to actually offer a sacrifice, just like the Old Testament sacrifice. This New Testament sacrifice is thanking God for all that he has done. We take the time to do it. It is an act of worship. Folks, without thanksgiving, we are not having an appropriate relationship with our God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 means what it says. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. In everything give thanks. So we need to thank him for all that he has done for us. Now folks, our attitude toward God will not be what it ought to be if we're not praying and seeing God work, and if we forget to thank him for what he has done. Folks, if you'll think back, so much of what happened in your life is because you cried out to God. And to not take a little bit of time and thank him for that is a tragedy. Two men were talking about a mutual friend. One was being very critical about him. The other said, "I'm surprised to hear you say that. It was my impression that he had done many nice things for you." Well, the other replied, "Yes, but he hasn't done anything for me lately." You know, we sometimes get, without meaning to, we know theologically we shouldn't, but we get a little critical of God. My situation isn't good. Get a little frustrated. And you begin to start questioning God's word. You know where that came from? You've forgotten to pray, number one, and you've forgotten to thank him for what he has done for you. Folks, you're here today. How many are breathing? Okay. Now, for some, it's a little more difficult, but they are. But you're here. All right, listen, folks. Life is a miracle. It is sacred. It's a privilege. Think of what he's done for us. Lack of thanksgiving is a horrible response to a loving God. And so we need to thank him. When you sit down with your family the next time, thank God. Every victory that you've had personally, every victory that God has given in your family and in people's lives, don't forget to thank the Lord. This becomes, honestly, some of the greatest time for faith building for me, because you know, when you're involved in lots of situations, it is so good to stop and remember and remember and remember. He did that, he did that. And then you go over your prayer list, and sometimes that's right, I've been praying about that, and God did it exactly like I was praying. I mean, it's shouting ground, folks, and that really helps you with the prayers that you're going to need answered. And you need to thank him also for the trials and how he has used those for growth in your life. The blind preacher of Scotland, George Matheson, said, "My God, I have never thanked thee for my thorn. I have thanked thee 1,000 times for my roses, but not for my thorn. I have been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensation for my cross, but I have never thought of my cross as itself a present glory. Teach me the glory of this cross. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. Show me that my tears have been my rainbow." And I'm telling you, one of the greatest acts of faith that you will have in your prayer time is for you to look at the trials that have come, how God has been working in your life, and realize that they have been some of his most precious gifts to you, to cause you to turn from this world, to turn from self-dependence, to turn to him, and he's been able to show you the light of his presence and his countenance. By the way, you can't be bitter when you're thankful. Bitterness is the opposite of thankfulness. Bitterness is blaming. My problems are because of. Instead, it's better to say, my blessings are because of. That person wronged me, but God used it. That situation is miserable, but God's meeting my need. I'm a whole lot better off. Thank the Lord for his pruning. Thank the Lord for his care for my life. You may have tears through your thankful 5 minutes, but I'm telling you, you'll come out of that with a free heart. Need to thank the Lord for the prayers he has answered. Keep a list of your requests. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein, overflowing therein with thanksgiving. There you rejoicing in how that we're rooted in Christ and we are established in the faith. We have been taught and God has led us, and therefore as we have prayed and he has been working and we have been growing and things we've cried out to the Lord about, we need to abound, we need to overflow with thanksgiving. I mentioned in the first point there that oftentimes you go back through a list and then you remember. That's why it is good to write down the answers to the prayers. And that can occur in your Thanksgiving section. And it's a wonderful diary of what God has done. I try to list it, everything down that I can remember of what God did. And I tell you what, you know, you get maybe bowled over by something else, but all you got to do is look back and realize, you know, yesterday he did this, and this is just amazing what God has done. And it'll strengthen your heart for what he has ahead. Have you thanked him for what he did yesterday? Have you thanked him for the day before? Thanked him for your daily bread? Have you thanked him for working in hearts? Have you thanked him for the power he gave you to witness? Have you thanked him for that financial help that he's given to you, that wisdom that he gave? We need to directly, specifically thank him. Very important section. And then thank the Lord for the prayers he is going to answer. And I love this. Okay, what is the section just before Thanksgiving? Intercession and petition. Now, if you prayed according to God's will, and you know your heart was right with God as you were praying, then what should you thank him for? The answers that he's going to give. He will answer your prayers. And that faith is very crucial in our Christian walk and in seeing God work. So we have to pray in faith to the Lord. Hebrews 11:6, we often quote, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now folks, a lot of times we pray and we really don't think it's going to happen. In fact, a lot of Christians will pray about their needs and end up more miserable. Good illustration of this, pastor talked about he once spent the night in a crumbling hotel in Porto Alegre, Brazil. He said a friend and I were ascended to our room, and high in the building in a tiny creak elevator. From our window, I saw slum spreading out far beneath me, and I felt uneasy. That evening, I prayed, Lord, please save me from any danger of fire. You can see that we're at the top of a dilapidated hotel, which is nothing but a fire trap. There isn't a fire station near, and I can't see any fire escapes out of the building. Lord, you know that this building would go up in flames in a second, and at this very moment is probably full of people falling asleep with Marlboros in their mouths. By the time I finished praying, I was a nervous wreck, he said. And I hardly slept a wink all night. The next morning, as I evaluated my evening, I realized that my bedtime prayer had focused on my negative feelings rather than on God's assurances and promises, and I learned an important truth. Unless we plead in faith, our prayers can do more harm than good. By the way, that's why Thanksgiving's way over here in that hour, so that your heart is in a place of having the Spirit of God be able to give you the faith that you need. But folks, if you're praying about a real need you're in, there ought to be a measure of peace when you finish that prayer request. There really should. And the ability to thank God because of what he's going to do. Now, the flesh will get in anxiety, huge requests that we face, things that seemingly are impossible, hurts that we're dealing with as we're praying for people. These things can just seem overwhelming as we start. But I want to encourage you, pray through in your intercession time till you get on the biblical victory ground. And when you get to Thanksgiving, say, Lord, I know you've heard my prayer. And I believe you're going to protect. I believe you're going to convict. I believe you're going to do whatever that I prayed about and claim the victory. And it's amazing the rest that God will give to your soul. So be very careful in your praying that you pray through to the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Remember it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts minds in Christ Jesus. And so believe he will answer you when you are in his will. I had Dr. Jim preach that message on the confidence of God, knowing that you've got it from 1 John 5:14, because this is something that needs to burn into our minds, and we need to finish the Thanksgiving section with absolute confidence in what God has said. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's what God says. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. A couple of key things this morning. Just quoting 1 John 5:14 and 15 brought great confidence to my heart. I know I got a hearing, therefore I know God is going to answer, and I refuse to get into a human doubt on that. I must stand upon the word of God that has been given and the fact that this is the will of God, and I want to leave my prayer time in complete faith that God is working and he will work in his time, but he will answer that prayer. That's how we honor him. And that, do you see how important Thanksgiving is? It really is the exclamation mark on our intercession time. You see, as Dwight L. Moody said, every great movement of God can be traced back to a kneeling figure. Those that so get a hold of the heart of God that they really believe God can do the big things and cause a major multiplying movement to go forth. And then thank the Lord for the many spiritual blessings he has given you. Isn't it wonderful just to be saved? You glad you're saved here this morning? Thankful you're indwelt by the Spirit of God? Are you thankful that you're sealed by him and that you have everlasting life? Are you thankful that you can pray and go boldly to the throne of grace? Yes. Are you thankful that you have great mega grace for whatever that you face? Are you thankful for the fruit of the Spirit? And all that he gives, that love that he gives, and that joy and peace that is spiritual, not circumstantial, that long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those miracles, the opposite of the flesh, we're greatly blessed. We have our position in the heavenlies. Jesus is ever making intercession for us, and we are able, being in him, to go directly to the Father through the power of the Spirit of God and ask him anything. And we are his children, and we have the right to go to the throne. Folks, we need to end our Thanksgiving time just thrilled with who we are in Christ. Therefore then, that verse, again, very much we understand, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are calling, and to them that are called according to his purpose. God is taking care of us. God will take care of us. And what a joy to thank him. Everything's working together. You can leave your prayer time just knowing, I'm okay. You met with Jesus, you're okay. And you get these things down, you're okay. God's working. We're not alone. Things aren't a disaster. God will use everything in our life. I am most blessed. Preacher that went through great heartache wrote in the midst of that heartache, O love that wilt not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. Whichever direction the wind blows, that's the direction of the love of God. Every angle of life, God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He is there, and he's omnipotent, and he can handle it. We're blessed, aren't we? Are you thankful for what you have? Oh, I'm telling you, what a great Savior. Now, folks, what can happen in 15 minutes of intercession, petition, and thanksgiving? Can change the world. Certainly can change your life. It can change your family. It can change your ministry. And it can have a direct impact on places that you'll never visit, but you know the need. when we're in our prayer closet, when we're having a private time with God, we are at the throne of grace. And because of who we are in Christ, we have the right to talk to God about everything. And my God answers prayer, and so does yours. My friends, you need the time leading up to intercession to be ready to pray by faith, to please God because you are counting upon Him to keep His word, and then to thank Him that He's going to do it. And my friend, it's explosive what God will do if that will be the kind of prayer that we pray. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow together here this morning, how important it is that we truly believe that prayer is the key to all the situations that we face. And that not praying is unbelief. We get anxious about our marriages. We get anxious about our families. We get anxious about our financial situations, our jobs. We get anxious about people that we're burdened about. And certainly we should be burdened, but we don't have to live with anxiety if we will intercede and we will have the right attitude. God cares. We can cast our burdens upon Him, for He careth for us. The impossible is where God begins, and that's where He shows Himself strong. And you'd say, Pastor, as I look at my prayer time, most here have been interceding to some extent, I'm sure, and have had some measure of thanksgiving. But you'd say, you know, I'm not praying with power, with faith, thoroughly, coming out with a belief that God is going to work and being thankful for it. I am not growing in that way of just having the depth of confidence that I ought to have. And I'm shortcutting some things, and it is making a difference. Any challenge you're facing, God is ready to work. He has said so. And you'd say this morning, Pastor, as I look at intercession, I need this to be much more thorough, much better laid out. It needs to come on the heels of spending some extended time with the Lord before I go to intercede and to make petitions for my needs. And it needs to produce thanksgiving in my heart, a thanksgiving of faith. And I realize that at times it has. I know what you're talking about, but it isn't where it ought to be. And I need to be living in that victorious reality. And God's touched my heart. And I realize that this is an important decision because it's going to affect a lot of people. And it's going to affect situations around the world. If I do not do what I ought to do, I'm going to not allow God to use me to touch many people's lives. And so I understand the seriousness of it. And I would ask you to pray for me. I want victory in this area. Would you just slip your hands up if God has worked in your heart that way? I know I need much more powerful, effective intercession and thanksgiving. God bless you. Appreciate the many hands. Maybe you're here this morning, and friend, the prayer you need to pray is that of salvation. You've been looking to yourself, religion, so common. But down in the depths of your heart, you don't have that confidence if you were to die that you would be in heaven. My friend, you can if you will put your faith alone. He will hear your cry. If you put your faith alone in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know my eternal destiny, but I am burdened about it. And oh, I would ask that you would pray for me. Would you remember me right now? Would you just slip your hand up and we'll not point you out, but pray for you along with these others that raise their hand. Anyone like that, just slip your hand up. I'd love to pray for you. It'd be a privilege. All right. God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful. All right. Someone else. God's stirring in my heart. And I just would love to know. The Bible says this is the confidence we can have, that we know Him by if we have believed in Him. And so you can have that confidence here today. Anyone else? God's working in your heart. Lord, would you bless now all of these that have raised a hand? I think of these that know that they need to have far greater victory in intercession and petition and thanksgiving. Lord, you know what needs to be done. You know how you can work in their hearts. Give them great grace, I do pray. For these that have raised the hand about salvation, Lord, thank you for their openness. Would they have the courage to just deal with it right now? Oh, Lord, would you work in their hearts? It'd be wonderful for them to leave here and know you as Savior. So we commit all of these dear folks to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.